heard the call to build your small business? Make it happen with a .net domain name, the place for dreamers for 30 years and counting. Visit keepdreamingup.net for tips and advice, whether you're just getting started or looking to grow. That's keepdreamingup.net.
The NBA draft is over. Free agency is just around the corner. It's summertime, but as far as I'm concerned, it's basketball season in New Orleans. Welcome, everybody, to the first episode of Locked on Pelicans. I'm Brett Dawson.
With the sixth pick in the 2016 NBA draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Buddy Hield from Freeport, Bahamas, and the University of Oklahoma.
And just like that, the Buddy Hield era got underway in New Orleans. We're going to talk about that quite a bit, but maybe slightly less significantly, the Locked on Pelicans era is also beginning. I'm Brett Dawson. As I told you, I'm the Pelicans beat writer for the New Orleans Advocate, and this is Locked on Pelicans, part of the Locked on Podcast Network. You don't know what any of that means, probably, but I'm going to explain it all in due time. Technically, this podcast begins on July 1st, and as you can tell, it's not July 1st yet. If we were a restaurant, we'd maybe call this our soft open. Basically, wanted to get a podcast out to kind of give you an idea of who I am and what to expect. Ultimately, this is going to be a Monday through Friday podcast. That'll be the case in July when we have free agency to talk about, Summer League, which I'm going to attend a few days of. Probably not throughout the offseason. We'll come in once a week or twice, depending on when there are topics to talk about in August and September. And then when training camp gets underway, once again, we'll go back to a daily format, Monday through Friday. And my hope is that you'll be able to come here and not only get just a recap of what's relevant with the Pelicans that day, but also some analysis, some insight, and most importantly, some guests. I definitely don't want this to be a podcast where I talk to you and nobody else talks to me. So you're going to hear periodically from Scott Kushner, who covers the Pelicans with me at The Advocate. And hopefully you're going to hear from players, coaches, possibly some other media people who cover the team, and also national media people who have NBA topics to talk about, league-wide trends, and maybe even some national perspective on the Pelicans that we can discuss with them. So a wide range of topics. And today we'll start off with a little bit of draft talk. Before we do that, I want you to know just a little bit about me. It's one of my least favorite subjects, but I'll talk about it very briefly. I have a background in covering college sports primarily. I covered Illinois for the News Gazette in Champaign, covered the basketball program there, and then covered Kentucky for a good long while, first at the Courier Journal in Louisville, and then for Rivals.com and Yahoo Sports. I'm a native Kentuckian. I went to school at the University of Kentucky, worked at the student newspaper there, and kind of had a job that I'd always wanted to have, but the NBA was really in the back of my mind all the time, and certainly in the forefront for the last couple of years that I was covering Kentucky. It was something I'd always wanted to do, and something that I think was accentuated by covering so many NBA players at Kentucky. People used to joke that I covered the 31st team in the league because I covered the whole time that John Calipari was there up until the year that I left. And so you look at the guys who went through there, John Wall, DeMarcus Cousins, Brandon Knight, Nerlens Noel, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Julius Randle, Karl Anthony Towns, and of course,
Anthony Davis on the run out by Green. Going hard! AD, you saw that coming. That was with malicious intent. Inside of 8 to play.
So yeah, that guy, Anthony Davis. We'll talk quite a bit about him on this podcast, but what I really want to devote some time to in this first episode is the draft. We mentioned Buddy Hield at the top. We're going to talk quite a bit about him. We're also going to talk a little bit about Cheick Diallo. But first, just wanted to get to Buddy. Obviously, a tremendous shooter in college. I did a pretty long story on Sunday about what it took for Buddy Hield to go from a guy who shot about 24% from the three-point line as a freshman to about a 46% shooter as a senior. Really the most feared college basketball three-point shooter in the country. It was a very, very long process. I would recommend that you read that story, but it says a lot about Buddy's work ethic,
about what he was willing to do, the time he was willing to put in with coaches and without, to really turn himself into this great perimeter threat. And the Pelicans want him to be more than that, but the shooting is really a big key for him. And that was one of the things he addressed at his press conference last week when he talked about playing alongside Anthony Davis and what he might be able to bring to the Pelicans as a rookie.
Just being a great teammate, of course. A guy that can spread the floor, space the floor for guys like Anthony. The guy, he's so special the way he does things, but he can play both ways, score the ball in a variety of ways. He can pick and pop, you know, paste up, post up. So just spreading the floor and making life easier for Anthony on the court.
Making life easier on Anthony Davis sounds pretty great to the Pelicans, I'm sure, and especially to Anthony Davis, because as we know, that wasn't the case very often last year. A lot of times you had guys left in the corner, maybe an Alonzo G, maybe even sometimes a Dante Cunningham, so the defenses could come help on Anthony Davis. And Buddy Hield's job is to kind of rectify some of that. The question is, how good is he going to be at doing that, and how important is it really when you look back at last season? The season is a little bit deceptive. The Pelicans were not a bad three-point shooting team. If you look at it, they were 14th in the league, right around middle of the pack in terms of how many threes they made per game, 8.6. They shot about 24 threes a game. That was 16th in the league. So they're a, you know, middle of the road three-point shooting team. They made 702 three-pointers. That's not bad. But here's where it gets a little tricky. You look at their unrestricted free agents. Ryan Anderson made 131 threes. Eric Gordon made 113. There's a big drop off to Norris Cole, who made 33. But if you look at those three guys, there's a possibility, a fairly strong possibility, I think, that all three of those guys could be gone. That's 39% of the three-pointers that the Pelicans made last season, and Davis made some himself. So you do need to not only replace some three-pointers that are probably going to be gone, but add some real perimeter punch. And so it makes a lot of sense that they went with Buddy Hield. Now, what kind of shooter is he going to be? Obviously, there's an adjustment from college. The three-point line is longer. Defenders are bigger and faster and stronger. But if you take just kind of a cursory look at shot analytics and what they did at shotanalytics.com with Buddy Hield's college stats, there are some pretty encouraging signs. One, he's really good from the corners. I think he made 46% from the right corner. He made 65% from the left corner, which is really an incredible number when you consider that he shot a higher than average volume of those three-pointers as well. So he was taking a lot from that spot and shooting 65%. He was a little weaker from the wings, really just the left wing. He made 39% from there. The right wing, he shot a high volume and he made 49%. He shot 50% from the top of the key. He's a really, really good three-point shooter. That doesn't mean he can get a shot off against NBA defenders. It doesn't mean he's going to turn the corner or beat people off the dribble. He also wasn't a big assist guy in college, so maybe he's more of a play finisher and not a play starter. And if you're a guard playing with Anthony Davis, ideally, you'd be doing both those things. That's really what makes his job easier, is a guy who not only can draw the attention of the defense, but then make the play to get Anthony the ball. Those things were problematic for the Pelicans in this very disappointing last season. So those are all questions about Buddy Hield. And also, you know, we don't know what kind of defender he is. He was okay in college from the people I know. I talked to some people who scouted him, and they say he was better a little earlier. He dropped off a little his senior year when he carried such an offensive load. He averaged 25 points a game. So that's something to look at. But those are the knocks on him. We don't know what kind of complete offensive player he's going to be. Don't know what kind of transition he's going to make as a three-point shooter. And we don't know what kind of defender he is. The biggest knock on him probably, though, is that he's 22 years old. And people are going to bring that up for two reasons. First, there are some statistics that suggest that no matter where you top out in college basketball, the best indicator of your pro success is playing well when you're 18 or 19. And so there are going to be people who question taking a 22-year-old who may have come close to topping out. We'll address that concern in just a second. The other thing is going to be that the Pelicans could have taken a 19-year-old in that same position. Jamal Murray from Kentucky went one spot later. He went seventh to Denver. And he and Buddy Hield are probably going to be compared a lot during their rookie years and maybe beyond that, depending on how well each guy plays. But for the Pelicans, I think the Hield thing makes a lot of sense. He's not a lot younger than Anthony Davis. Hield is going to turn 23, I think, in December. Anthony Davis did in March. But this will be the first teammate Davis has had in New Orleans who's younger than he is. So that's a pretty big step. And taking a 19-year-old would have been a pretty big leap. The other thing is that the Pelicans just don't look at that as a detriment. This is a team that, you know, whether you agree with it or not, this is a team that's in kind of win-now mode. It's going to try to make some moves in free agency. or via trades to win right away and to get back into the playoffs. This isn't a franchise that looks at itself as building long term. So, you know, they want to be good now. And when you want to be good now, 22 years old doesn't seem particularly old.
A lot of times in the draft process is ready versus risk, projections, all that came into play. But the thing you like about him is that he keeps getting better every year. There was big improvements. Could have came out last season, elected to come back and work on his game, and then, you know, Oklahoma definitely benefited from it, and now the Pelicans hope to too.
That's Del Demps, the Pelicans general manager, talking about how Buddy Hield's age took a back seat to his improvement. If you look at it, Hield added basically 10 points onto his three-point percentage between his junior and senior year. He was the Big 12 Player of the Year as a junior at Oklahoma, and his coach, Lon Kruger, told me last week that if the league had a Most Improved Player award, Buddy would have won that as a senior, in addition to all the National Player of the Year awards that he won. You look at his senior year, it ended with some disappointment. He had 9 points against Villanova in the Final Four. He was 1 for 8 from three. But you look at some of the other games he had, 32 points in that big win against LSU. I know a lot of people here remember that game. He made 8 threes. I think 7 of those were in the second half. He had 8 threes against Iowa State. He scored 39 points. 2 NCAA tournament games. He had 36 against VCU and 37 against Oregon. And then there was his biggest game of that season, and that was at Kansas. Oklahoma lost that game in triple overtime, but Buddy had 46 points. He made 8 threes. And Bill Self, the Kansas coach, told me that when you played Oklahoma, especially as Buddy got better and better from three-point range, normally Kansas would send 3 guys to the glass when a shot went up. Against Oklahoma, what they would do is they'd send 2 guys, and they'd send 1 guy whose job it was just to find Buddy Hield. Because he was so dangerous, off an offensive rebound, getting a look from three-point range, so confident and just so deadly out there that you had to come up with different schemes. You do things completely differently. And Self said they changed so many things about their game plan just to accommodate for Buddy Hield. In that Kansas game, he also had 8 rebounds. He had 7 assists. He was 12 for 14 from the free throw line. He got buckets. And one of the guys who got to watch him do that and had a front row seat for it was one of his new teammates.
I mean, I was in a bench, so I was like, wow. I was wow, that number 24 is good. But I don't really know him. I was like, wow. Can't shoot, you know. Somebody needs to stop him. I was like, I'm from Bahamas. They were getting bucketed everywhere. I was like, wow.
That's Sheck Diallo, the Pelicans' other rookie, who they got in the second round by trading with the Clippers. The Clippers took Sheck at number 33. The Pelicans traded their 39th and 40th picks for him. And you really couldn't get more of a contrast than to draft Buddy Hield, who won 3 National Player of the Year awards, and Sheck Diallo, who basically didn't play at Kansas. He averaged just a little over 7 minutes a game, about 7.5 minutes a game, 3 points, a couple of rebounds, 2.5 rebounds, a little bit less than a block per game. He just is not a guy who played a whole lot. And there were a lot of reasons for that. One, he's a very raw prospect. He's new to basketball. He's only been playing a few years. 2, he had an academic eligibility issue coming out of his high school in New York. He's originally from Mali, came to the United States and attended a high school here and ran into some academic difficulty with the NCAA. It took a while to get him cleared to play. And by the time he was cleared, and he was able to practice some, but by the time he was cleared to play, Kansas had sort of established what it was. It was a top 5 team at that point. I think the hope from Bill Self and talking to him last week was that Sheck was going to be able to help them quite a bit, and he played quite a bit at the very beginning of the season. That tailed off as the season went on, and part of the reason was they had a lot of guys, Bill Self told me, who they were trying to pair in their front court. They had a couple of established players. They were trying to find one more guy in the rotation, and they had 4 or 5 guys who were really competing for that spot, and Sheck was one of them. Ultimately, you know, he lost out to a guy who was 22 years old, a guy who Bill Self thought could help Kansas win right now. And that was sort of the goal. They were trying to win their league again, which Kansas does pretty much every year. They were trying to position themselves for a good NCAA tournament seed. And I think the thought was that Sheck Diallo would probably come back another year and have a chance to improve. Ultimately, he opted to enter the NBA draft after his freshman year. And what Bill Self told me the other day was, Really, this is a guy who had a chance to be a top 10 pick next year. He's 6'9". He's very long. He's really lean. He's a good athlete. He works really hard. I think Self felt like he was going to take a big leap in his sophomore year and be a guy who was ready at that point to be a dominant college player who would be a lottery pick. And he said the Pelicans got a lottery pick at 33. And to be clear, Bill Self wasn't complaining. He said he didn't want to say that Shaq should have come back to school. He just thinks that's what would have happened if he had. The Pelicans were excited to have him for a couple of reasons. One, you know, we talked about the fact that they took a 22-year-old guy because that's what they wanted to do with their first-round pick, have a guy who they thought could help them right away. In Shaq Diallo, I think what they have is a project, and they haven't had a young project like this in a little while, a guy who's 19 years old, who has a high motor, a lot of energy. He may not contribute right away in games. But I think if you look at the Pelicans last year, you know, way too often Alvin Gentry was coming out after games and saying that guys didn't play as hard as they should have. And that was pretty obvious if you were watching. That wasn't just coach speak. There were times when the effort just really wasn't there. And there were times when it was. And sometimes it depended on the level of the opponent. Sometimes maybe it was people's health. Sometimes you'd see Anthony Davis have a ton of energy and make these crazy diving hustle plays. You know, I remember the play that stands out against San Antonio when they beat the Spurs in New Orleans, where he blocks LaMarcus Aldridge and then saves the ball off Aldridge. They made a ton of great plays like that. They won some games by playing that way, but it wasn't consistent. We didn't see it with any consistency really until late in the year, when the Pelicans were playing with a lot of guys who are trying to make the NBA, trying to prove they belong. And those guys, the Tim Fraziers, the James Ennises, those guys were really, really playing hard. And one of the things Alvin Gentry was hoping that would do is establish a culture of playing hard, of giving effort all the time. I think Shaq Diallo is another piece in that puzzle, and that's what they hope he can do right away, if nothing else.
Shaq is just a high-energy player. You know, he sprints the floor up and down, blocking shots, diving on loose balls. You know, one of his skills is his motor. And, you know, for a rookie, he's going to automatically, from day one, when he steps in here, he's going to improve our practices. He's going to improve our energy level. Like I said, we're really excited to have him. And he's a great kid. He's a phenomenal person. You know, we all fell in love with him in the interview process. We're really excited to have him.
So those are the Pelicans rookies. We're going to get a good look at those guys in summer league. Both of them are good to go there, and they'll be ready to play and play with a bunch of free agent guys who we've had a few names in the Advocate. We'll have a few more as we go along, and the Pelicans will officially announce a roster at some point. What we don't know yet is who's going to be playing with Buddy Hield and Shaq Diallo when the season rolls around, when the preseason gets here, when Anthony Davis and Jrue Holiday and the rest of the Pelicans are in uniform. There are a bunch of free agent questions to be answered, both in terms of who the Pelicans will look to re-sign and who they're going to pursue out on what's going to be a very, very competitive open market. We're going to be here talking about those options later this week when the podcast goes into its full launch mode, and we'll be back next week to keep you up to date on free agency news and any developments with the Summer League. And in the meantime, I'd like to make a quick plug. I told you earlier about the story I did about Buddy Hield's shooting improvement. You can read that and everything else from the draft at theadvocate.com. That's where you'll find all the coverage of the Pelicans from Scott Kushner and me, an analysis from our columnist Rod Walker, who was just named the Louisiana Sports Writers Association's co-sports writer of the year. We have really good coverage there. I urge you to please go check it out. It's theadvocate.com. We did very well in those newspaper awards, so check us out. There's also really great Saints and LSU coverage, good coverage of Tulane, all kinds of things. If you're looking for New Orleans and Louisiana sports, that's the place to go, theadvocate.com. Then come back here on Friday for another episode of the podcast. I hope to get a little better at this as we go along, and I hope you enjoy it. And if you do, head on over to iTunes. As soon as we're posted there, hit subscribe. And make sure you get every episode as soon as it's ready to roll. Thanks again for listening to Locked On Pelicans. I'll be back later this week. I hope you will be too. Hey, if you'd like to advertise on the podcast and reach some cool sports fans, you can email me at lockedonpelicans@gmail.com.